So God's grace is amazing, right? God's grace is much more than sin, and there is no equal to it. So if sin gets to this level, graces don't go this level. Because this level, and if I could barely reach, sin goes up even higher enough to cover it, right? Grace is always going to cover sin. You know, there's no sin what is more powerful or greater than grace, than God's grace. So this fact, and that is a fact, brings up a question. And this question we see in chapter 6, verse 1. Cassia. Yep. So you know what the question is, right? So if grace always covers sin, why don't we just keep on sinning? Right? We won't be forgiven. We should just keep on sinning. You know, instead of asking God for strength to keep winning, we cheat to get ahead and ask for forgiveness later. Right? Sounds like a perfect plan. Doesn't it? Huh? No? You don't think so? Yes. We got a yes, we got a no. Andy? No comment. All right, Romans 6, verse 2. TJ?
Absolutely not. How can we who die into sin still live?
So sad. Why is it sad? So I was thinking, you know, let's imagine that we're driving. We're all getting to the age, right? Aren't we? Some of us, no. We're close. Do you think about driving? Thinking how cool it's going to be? No. How you could slide, you could drift? No. All right, imagine that you are someday. This would be the first time, so it'll be a stretch, right? You're driving. You're just cruising. And it's awfully quiet, so you turn on the radio, but I forget, your generation, you have like playlists or something on your phone. Yeah. But you're not supposed to mess with your phone while you're driving, right? 10 to 2. So you're driving, right? And the song comes on. And what do? You're all alone, right? So you have to sing. Even if you're a bad singer, you're alone. So you're like, our God is an awesome God. He rises above. Hey, Grandma! Did you get born? Now, that's strange, right? Did that seem strange to you guys?
Not really.
Or is it just my bad singing? Or is that normal? Is that normal? Well, that's sad if that's normal. Because it sounds to me like a split personality. Right? You're praising God, and then you just go off on this poor, sweet old lady. You don't know that. Maybe I'm driving recklessly. I'm singing. I had my eyes closed. You know, Paul.
That's unsafe. What's wrong with you?
She should have been, but I went off on her, right? So, oh, she's so sweet. So Paul puts it this way, and Paul's the one writing Romans, right? Paul puts it this way, we all lived a certain way, right? We all lived a certain way before we decided to follow Jesus, right? And we had a life. Nobody would say, oh, you don't have a life. No, you have a life, but that was our old life. That life is over. That life is dead. And if it's dead, we can't live in it. We physically can't live in it because you can't live in something what's dead, right? That's a zombie, right? And we're not zombies, because that's just imitation of life. That's imitation. It's not real. It might look, have that appearance, but it's not real. In Luke 6, 43 through 44, Andy? Yeah. Andy.
A good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. On the other hand, a bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are gathered from thorn bushes, or grapes picked from a bramble bush.
So kindness, right? Kindness is not how we get saved, but it's proof that we are saved, right? That's one of the good fruits. So I fail a lot, but every now and then, that's not what she tells me at home. She's like, every now and then I get some things right. So last week I was picking up some food at Dickie's Barbecue over here, and it was snowing, right? We noticed this. There was a big snowstorm. Did you notice?
No.
Well, with school online, you don't even get school snow days, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it was snowing, and so as I was pulling in, there was this truck, and it had a trailer, and it was stuck. Right?
The trailer. Well,
both. It was both, because the truck couldn't move the trailer, so when it was hooked up, the truck was stuck. So it was stuck. So what I do, I just walk back. No, I stopped and I asked if everything was all right, if they needed help. And he said, oh, my sister has a truck. She's going to hook up and help pull this trailer out. So I said, okay. So I go in and order my food, right? Through the windows, I don't know if you've ever been there. There's big windows. There's a crash, chain flying everywhere. So I noticed that they're still having a little bit of trouble, right? They're still having a little bit of trouble. And it's not too late to ask again. Or even if I went in, it's not too late to ask for help, even if you didn't ask before. Somebody can always need help, right? So I went and I helped him. I helped him out. I helped him get the truck unstuck. So, you know, I showed kindness, yet I was the one blessed. I was blessed because it made me feel good, right? It made me feel good to help somebody out. And then I went back inside to pick up my food, and because of the workers there, they saw what I did, saw that I helped them, they gave me a free brownie.
You got a brownie?
I got a brownie.
Oh my God.
So I got emotionally blessed, and I got physically blessed. And all because I put forth good fruit. Now, if I would have put selfish fruit out there, if I would have just thought about myself and my time, I don't have time for this, maybe I'd get stuck. You know, yeah, nothing probably would have happened. I just would have went on my way, right? But I wouldn't have got blessed. I would have missed out on all that blessing. Now, that brownie was really good. I shared it with Michelle, she could confess. That was really good brownie. But I didn't do it for the brownie. I didn't know they were going to do that. I didn't expect them to give me a free brownie. You know, I didn't do it so I could stand up here and tell all you guys, oh, look what I did. I'm so good. Right? I didn't do it for that. I did it because it was the right thing to do to help somebody out. Now, the trick is to not produce bad fruit. So that's the trick, right? And then it's also to try to shorten that time between now and then. Make it a little bit shorter so it happens more often. So in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, Romans 6, 6. Cassia?
We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin.
And then Romans 6, 9. TJ? All right, this one, the wording was a little bit different on the first verse. That's on this one, but what do all three of those verses have in common? So it's 3, 6, and 9. If you want a little hint, there's a common word in the New King James in there. Sin? No. They have that in common, but I'm looking for another word. It starts with this letter.
Okay.
Starts with this letter.
Is that K?
Oh, this letter. I was backwards.
It's a K.
It's a silent K.
There's no K in the
whole.
They're all in Romans. That's what they
have. No, it's knowing. She was trying to help you out. It's knowing. No, not N-O, but K-N-O-W. Knowing. And what is knowing?
Knowledge.
Sorry, this is much easier when you know what I'm... When you live in my head, it's like, it's right there. But wouldn't that be awesome to be friends with Scooby-Doo? Be awesome. All right, so it's all about knowing and, knowledge, right? They all have to do with knowledge. In Psalms 119:11. There it is. 11:9:11. Or 11:9:11. Right? Andy, right? Right, Andy. So he treasures your word in his heart, right? So a famous pastor would say, he'd hold his book out, this book, not literally this book. This isn't his Bible. This is mine. But he'd hold out the Bible to his congregation and said, this book will keep you from sin. And sin will keep you from this book. Meaning that knowing God's word is huge. Knowing the truth is huge. In verse 3 in the New King James, it says, do you not know that many of us were baptized in Christ Jesus? Christ Jesus were baptized in his death. So Paul uses that common expression for believers of being baptized, right? We've all heard about being baptized, and I don't know if all of us are, but I'm assuming most of us are baptized. Baptized is an expression of our choice that we believe and we trust in Jesus, right? A pledge to follow and make Jesus our Lord. Right? It's showing everything. We are going to change the way we live. That's what it's saying, is that we're going to change the way we live and we're going to do our best to follow Jesus. You know, it's a union between us and God. Now, when Jesus died, you know, for the sins of the world, we also died to our sins. You know, leaving those sins in a grave. Not a grave that we're going to go back and we want to go back and visit, but a grave that we bury and forget. You know, that's where we want to put our sins, is just put them out. We don't want to think about them. In verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Now, when the Bible is talking about old man, it's not mentioning me. Just so you guys make sure you know that. It's not mentioning me. It's referring to our past sins. It's talking about the way we used to be. Baptism is where our hearts are changed, where we want to change. You know, here, because our sins were crucified and done away with, are killed, our past sins have no power over us. Not saying that they still might not tempt us, but we are no longer slaves to them. We don't have to obey them. They don't rule over us. In verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. We see God's victory over death in his grace, in his forgiveness. You know, our sins are forgiven, and God doesn't even think about them anymore. He forgives them. He never brings them up again. With God, death can no longer separate us from him. In Romans 6, 12, Dane? You know, we still live in this messed up world, right? We're still here. You know, we could change, but the world is still here. And sin is still all around. But God gives us the power to not let it control us. How? Well, first, about keeping a distance. Kind of like that 6-foot rule, right? We've all heard it for the last year and a half, probably. At least it feels longer. But keeping a distance. You know, too often we try to stand as close as we can to the edge, or to sit on the fence, you know, to kind of play both sides. But sooner or later, if we do that, we're going to fall. We don't get burnt. We get too close. We try to get too close. Try to have best of both worlds. We need to pick a side and stay on it. 2 is cut off opportunity. You'll run if you have to. Get out of there. You know, we cannot stop birds from flying above us. But we could stop them from making a nest in our hair, right? We don't have to go along. You know, if something in your life is there and it gets you to sin, you need to cut it off. And if that something is something that you really love, you don't have to make a hard choice. But you don't have to make a choice. Accountability. You know, talking to a friend, talking with somebody, just let them know what you're going through. Somebody to help you, right? Two is greater than one. And four, replace. Draw closer to God and get further away from that line. In Romans 6, 13, Cassia.
And do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness, but as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness.
Now, I do like this version because in the New King James it says, say that your members are instruments. But I do, it makes more sense to picture them more like weapons. Because make no doubt, we are in a battle between good and evil every day. Every day. And it doesn't make sense if you take your rifle and go up to anybody, hey, you want this? It doesn't make any sense when you're in a battle, right? That'd be poor strategy. Because it'd leave you without any weapons, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I thought I lost some of you. Now, what we watch, what we listen to, and what we say can all be weapons used against us if we give in to unrighteousness. You know, that all affects how we feel, how we live, how people see us, all those things. Therefore, give them to God. You know, the best defense is more offense. And we need more offense. In Romans 6, 14, DJ? Okay, I'm holding on. So when sin tells us that we're not good enough, and it'll tell you that you're not good enough, it is lying in order to keep you. It wants to keep you in sin. Remember that grace is more powerful than sin. Remember, it's don't go bigger, it's don't go higher. And grace tells us we're good enough. That we're good enough. Now, anybody here are dog lovers? Right? You have three. You must really. Have you ever trained a dog or tried to train the dog? A little bit, tricks here and there. You just didn't care about the fifth one or what? You were the old and you were young, right? So if you're like training a dog, and this is, there's different dogs, let's face it. But if you're training a dog, and you like take the treat, right? It's a treat he loves. And it's like you put it down on the ground and you say no, right? What does that dog do? Now, if the dogs don't listen, what does that dog do? No, that's the dog I would train. But if the dog is properly trained, he doesn't look at that tree. He looks up at the master, right? He looks up at you. He doesn't want to be focused on that tree. He looks straight at the master. Then when I say, okay, then that tree's gone, right? Because he's focused on the master. In 2 Peter 3:18, Andy.